Take up the authorized version of Holy Scripture. You'll find in front of you in the pew. Open it at the New Testament, at the book of Acts, chapter 18. The 18th chapter of the book of Acts. And we are going to read from verse 7 of this 18th chapter. The 18th chapter of the book of Acts and verse 7. And that is, he, Paul, departed thence, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things, of those things. And God shall stamp with his own divine with his own divine seal of approval, this reading from his very own infallible book. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. The people of God said, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak tonight on how biblical Christianity shattered European idolatry. What a book is the book of the Acts. The book of the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. The apostle Paul brought the gospel to Europe. Europe was in darkness, a darkness of religious orthodoxy, a darkness of terrible idolatry, and the darkness of filthy immorality. Europe was a place of sin, where sin triumphed and the commandments of God were constantly and continually violated. And there came a man who had seen a man in his dream. And the man in his dream said, come over and help us. If ever a continent needed help, the continent of Europe needed help. If ever there was a sorry state of sin, darkness, sexual perversion, and the vilest of crimes, it was in Europe. And its sin flowed from its religious pagan practices. And its idolatries, which led to immorality and evil. If you look at chapter 18 of Acts, you'll find that Paul is in Corinth, one of the great centers of Europe at that time. And he is endeavoring to proclaim the gospel and evangelize. And God spoke to him. Verse 9. He had another night vision. He had a night vision before he entered Europe. Now he has a night vision after he has entered Europe. Verse 9. Verse 10 and verse 11 of the 18th chapter of Acts. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. These three verses are most significant. A dark, polluted continent where paganism and idolatry ruled and reigned. One man, troubled in spirit and in soul with the situation, receives a message from God. There are five characteristics in these verses. First of all, there is the word of enablement. Now, Paul was not a weakling. Please note this. Paul was a giant. Paul was a man full of courage, full of zeal, full of the Spirit of God. And yet to this man, Paul, who was a veritable giant, God said in a vision, Paul, be not afraid. That text suggests that Paul was afraid. The fear of the task. The fear of the opposition. Look at verse 6. He had felt it. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, Paul shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your heads. I, from henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. Here was a great apostle. And he was trembling. The odds were terrible. The balances were weighted against him. He was facing the most colossal opposition he had ever faced. It seemed to be a task that could never be accomplished. And then God speaks. And God says, Paul, be not afraid. Be not afraid. What a word that was to the apostle. This great man, this man of great talent and great dedication and great consecration to the God and the Savior he loved and served. And God said, be not afraid. I know you're trembling, Paul. I know this battle staggers you and causes you to faint. You've been through it with these Jewish opposers who have blasphemed you to your face and forced you out of the synagogue. But Paul, be not afraid. There is no need for any man of God to be afraid of the opposition that he will face as he preaches the gospel. Many years ago I went to Canada, and I have been in some tight places in my day, but I was just saying to WP before this meeting that when I arrived in Canada, it seemed that all hell had been let loose. The church was cancelled. The place where they worshipped was closed and barred to them. We were on the street, and I was to start an evangelistic campaign. And then suddenly a large church in downtown Toronto became available to us, and that even sparked a greater riot, because those that turned them out of their little conventicle church didn't want to have this mission in a far larger building. And of course, that church body that lent us their church had second thoughts. They didn't know whether that was wise or not. I think they could see their church going up in flames. And when I arrived to get into that church to start that campaign, there were literally hundreds of pressmen in a very aggressive manner, kicking and shouting and screaming and yelling. They almost drowned me in microphones. And I wouldn't say a word. I just smiled sweetly to them all. And I eventually got in, aided by a couple of mighty policemen who practically threw me in. And that campaign commenced. And God gave me this promise. God gave me this promise. He said, you have not to be afraid. You have to speak. For I have much people in this city. You go to our Toronto church. And go and look at the fine buildings. Go and look at the Whitfield Academy. And look at its fine buildings. And its high scholastic standing in the city. And you can know that God's word is always true. There's nothing to be afraid of. You can laugh in the teeth of the enemy. If God is with us, be not afraid. Notice, secondly, Paul's endowment. The Lord opens his mouth and he says to him, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Hold back nothing. Stand fearlessly and authoritatively and boldly and courageously, for I am going to do a work in Corinth that will be known across the whole world. And it'll bless centuries upon centuries still to come in the Christian church. God was going to do something. Now, there were certain characteristics of Corinth. First of all, Corinth was a very religious city. But its religion was the religion of paganism. Secondly, it had a large Jewish community. And the Jewish community was totally opposed to Jesus Christ of Nazareth and totally opposed to the Apostle Paul. And then surrounding the paganism and the Jewish antagonism was a welter of filth and sin. If you turn over to the first epistle to the Corinthians, you will find in chapter 6 of the first epistle to the Corinthians the type of people they were. In verse 9, they were fornicators, they were idolaters, they were adulterers, they were effeminate, they were abusers of themselves with mankind, they were thieves, they were covetous, they were drunkards, they were revilers, they were extortioners. What a catalogue of filth. And you know what Paul says as he writes to them? Such were some of you, but ye have been washed. Paul, you have to open your mouth and declare there's power in the blood to cleanse man and woman from all their sins. Paul, I'm enduring you with liberty. As for me, Paul, you say, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. I'm going to open your mouth, Paul. You're to open your mouth and hold not your peace. And so Paul shattered the idolatry with the gospel, shattered the immorality with the gospel, shattered the paganism with the gospel. The shrines of Corinth were forsaken, and the New Testament church was built. A great move took place down in the gutters and the sewers of the city. And this list of characters, hopeless and helpless in their sins and filth, were delivered in their hundreds by the grace of God. How biblical Christianity shattered European idolatry by the endowment with the preacher, casting out all fear and giving him liberty to preach the Word of God. But notice something else here. There is encouragement here. Look at it again. He says, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee." I am with thee. Here is the encouragement of God. It consists, first of all, of God's presence. I am with you. God's presence alone can knock over the shrines. Just the same way as they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the house of Dagon, into the temple of the Philistines. And what happened in the morning? Dagon had fallen to the ground, and his hands had been broken off, and they set him up again. And the next day he was only a stump. Every part of him was smashed up. If you bring the ark of God in the strength of God, the presence of God and the strength of God to bear upon the vilest of sins will yield, and the vilest of sinners will yield to the power of the gospel. What a story is this. Shattering idolatry. Shattering sin. Shattering iniquity. Paul, I am going to be with you. And in the middle of this, when the whole row was on with the Jewish people, what happened? The ruler of the synagogue got converted. And all his family, and were baptized into the Christian faith. So the head of the synagogue that set itself against the apostle, he himself, the ruler, was converted and became a Christian with all his family. Now there must have been some shouting of hallelujahs in the church at Corinth when the ruler of the synagogue that so hated Paul and blasphemed him became a convert and was received into the Christian faith. I am with you, Paul. When God is with us, who can be against us? And then he says, Paul, you're not going to only have my presence, but he says you're going to have my protection. Look at it. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. I have given you the best possible protection. I'm going to protect you myself. You're going to be a very important person, Mr. Paul, in Corinth, because the angel of the Lord is going to camp round about you. And no hand will be laid upon you. And no one will hurt you. No man. I tell you, Paul, there's not a man in Corinth, no matter his position or his influence, will be able to set a hand on you. Why? Because I'm going to encourage you with my presence, but I'm going to encourage you with my protection. And he says to Paul, now you've got to open your mouth and speak, knowing that naught will harm the father's child in Corinth. And then will you notice, please, the endowment. He gave Paul a gift. He said to Paul, I have much people in this city. I'm giving them to you. My Father gave them to me to be atoned for. And on the cross I atoned for every one of them. Now, Paul, I'm giving them to you. You have to see them born and brought into the kingdom. And what did Paul write? He says, you have not many fathers, for I begot you all in Jesus Christ. This great endowment given to Paul to be the one that would bring hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Corinthians into the family of God. Until the church at Corinth, became the greatest church in the whole of Europe. With the greatest talents, with the greatest abilities, with the greatest prospects. Paul, I give you these people. And you're going to see them brought one by one to me, for God gave them to me, and the gospel as you preach it is going to draw them to myself. So we see Paul in his enablement, in his endearment, in his encouragement, and in his endowment. But then we see Paul in his engagement. What did he do? He got at the job. And for one whole year and a half, he had a year and a half's gospel crusade. Every night, 7 days every week, for one whole year and a half, what did he do? He taught the Word of God among them. And the idolatry of that great European city was shattered. The immorality of that great European city was shattered. And the iniquity and the paganism of that great European capital was shattered. It was the Lord's doing. Only the Lord can do it. And my friend, I would call you tonight to give yourself in your city and in this city of ours. We are having a series of prayer meetings up in Townsend Street Presbyterian Church. And Mr. O'Flaherty of the BBC is going to be the sponsor of one of these prayer meetings. He's going to tell us how to pray. And then Mr. Irwin of the PUP, he's going to be a speaker one day at these prayer meetings. Did you ever hear such utter and total counterfeit in all your life? And then Brother Jardine, one of these ecumenists that's creeping to Rome and wants to be in Rome, he's going to have a night. Total and absolute confusion of faith. But thank God, there is a throne of grace. There is a power in prayer. There are those that know the secret of that throne and the secret of that power. We should double our efforts that God will come down upon this city and expose its hypocrisy, its immorality, its idolatry, its popery, and its infidelity. And we should pray that God will send to us a revival like the revival in Corinth, where God spoke with power and hundreds were delivered from the wrath to come. God is still in the throne. Christ still reigns. There's power in the blood. And this book is infallible and true. And God will see us through in the deepest day of trial. For He is the reigning Lord. The Lord God, omnipotent reigner. He reigned in Corinth. And thank God He can reign in Belfast as well.